Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Comes on Sunday by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. And I hope you'll check out my blog, too. I'm pretty excited about my blog. Also, by the way, folks, on the blog, you'll see pictures, photographs of me doing things all across the country. So, and I know some of you out there, all my groupies, I know you love to see those photographs. So check that out when you get a chance. Dave Anderson is our guest. He's our good friend, one of the smartest guys I know. He's the author of Up Your Business, 7 Steps to Fix, Build, or Strengthen Your Stretch Your Organization. Dave is the president of Anderson's Lead to Learn in International Sales and Management Organization. He's been a very successful businessman for a long time, and I'm very excited about today's visit. I'm always excited when Dave joins us, but he's bringing his brand new book to the table today, to the show, and it's a book that I've been anxiously waiting on for a long time. And Dave, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks for having me back. It's great to hear your voice.
It's good to have you back, sir, and welcome back to the USA.
Yeah, it's always good to be back in the
USA. You just got back from Moscow, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
How was that?
You know, luckily I was there at a time of the year where the weather was agreeable. The people are great. The food was good. I had a good conference out there. We had about 700 people come to a leadership conference
for
2 days. I was there in April and went back in October, and I'm learning Russian, so I get to try it out when I'm out there.
So
I'm out of my comfort zone a bit.
So Up Your Business is now in Russian, isn't it?
Yes, it is. They translated Up Your Business into Russian and into Chinese, which is kind of fun to see it like that. Yeah,
you know, folks, you've heard me say this before. When you hear somebody talking about their books being translated into all these other languages, that's when you know when I say no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience. This is an example. And so, Dave, congratulations. That's a great success story.
Thanks very much.
Now Dave, I don't want to leave the Russian thing for just a second. How did you find the Russian economy, the Russian marketplace? What would you tell us about? Is there actually a small business sector over there that's thriving in Russia?
It's emerging. You know, unfortunately, Jim, the mafia is so strong in Russia that so many of the small business people have a hard time making a profit after they have to pay the mafia. And it's a real threat out there.
How are they going to solve that, Dave?
You know, the government's not doing anything about it. The government is part of the problem out there.
Yeah.
I think that how that problem gets solved is, you know, whenever anything gets too overbearing, it always seems to correct itself in a marketplace.
Yeah.
You know, there are self-correcting mechanisms in place, and people are getting more creative. They're finding ways to avoid them.
That's called a black market.
Black market, and they're doing more business online, which the mafia really can't do much about.
Yeah, they'll figure it out, though.
They'll eventually get in there.
It breaks my heart, Dave. It breaks my heart to think about small business owners in Russia having to do business with that kind of fear.
And being
ripped off like that, it just breaks my heart.
Russia is a long way from being where they need to be.
China is light years ahead of them, aren't they?
Yes. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And it should be the other way around, really.
It should be. Yes, absolutely. You know, Russia, since the early 90s, has had a huge head start in that direction. But there's this vacuum that was created when communism fell and the mafia and corrupt government officials stepped in to fill that vacuum. And it's just been oppressive ever since. You've got the very rich, the very poor, and not a whole lot in the middle.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, China... Ted Fishman wrote the book China Inc. He's been on the show a number of times. He says the Chinese middle class is the size of the American population.
Wow,
300 million.
that China, they are blowing and going over there. It's an exciting place for business and for business people right now.
Well, and I'm proud that they're reading your book over there, because if they read your book, China's economy will become a lot stronger and a lot more substantial in it. So I'm glad to hear that. Dave, the last couple of times you've visited us, you've teased us a little bit. And I think maybe I let the audience in on this. I can't remember, but I know you teased me a little bit, because you told me that you were working on a book about political correctness. And I said, I guess it's kind of a malapropism. I said unpolitically correct, but what I really meant to say was politically incorrect.
Yeah.
And that we were going to be a little politically incorrect. And so that's what you're going to do. When we come back after these messages, folks, Dave's new book is out. It's called If You Don't Make Waves, You'll Drown. And so when we come back, Dave's going to talk to us about how to manage our businesses in a politically incorrect way, but also in a way that doesn't run everybody off. We're going to do that right after these messages. Or, well, really, if you run some people off, they probably need to be run off anyway. Right, Dave? 20 till. We'll be right back with our good buddy, Dave Anderson. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling with our good buddy Dave Anderson, one of the smartest guys I know, one of the smartest guys in our brain trusts. He's the author of Up Your Business, which you've heard him talk about on the show many times before. His brand new book is If You Don't Make Waves, You'll Drown. Folks, it's all about managing politically incorrectly. I think it's probably a good way to say it, Dave. And, you know, as you know, Dave, and you and I have talked about this before, my audience knows I'm not a very politically correct kind of guy. I believe that political correctness is where creativity goes to die. I believe political correctness is where free speech goes to die. I believe political correctness is where excellence goes to die. Right. And I think in small business, political correctness is where success goes to die. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what's sad, Jim, is as society gets more politically correct, which of course it has, that trend always carries over into business. Business trends follow society trends.
Absolutely.
So as society becomes more entitled, as it gets more PC, that carries over into business. And
more
you're
victim,
right.
more victimhood emerges. You know, there's one other thing that goes to die in political correctness, and I really lament this. Humor.
Isn't that the truth? You're afraid you'd be a victim in a lawsuit or be labeled as some horrible name, you know, because you can't have fun, you can't joke around.
And when we're not talking about being insensitive, we're not talking about any kind of hatefulness or evilness. That's not what we're talking about. In my first book, I made the comment, if I didn't laugh at myself, I'd miss some of the best laughs of my life.
Exactly.
You know, we need to lighten up and learn to laugh at ourselves a little bit.
We know political incorrectness just means we've got to get back to doing what's right and not just what's easy or cheap or popular or convenient, you know?
Right.
It doesn't mean you become brutal or disrespectful of people, but it means you get back to telling it like it is again, to giving people what they earn and deserve, you know, not to worry about, well, if I do it for this one, I got to do it for five others, you know, to stop worrying about holding people accountable because you might make them mad or offend them somehow, that, you know, we need to let people know where they stand. They need accountability if they're going to grow.
Absolutely.
And just making the right decisions and to stop taking polls and census and trying to make sure everybody's happy all the time. It's great if they're happy, but it's more productive if they're actually getting better. And then when we get them better, they tend to get happier. And so the book goes over 10 strategies for leading more effectively in these watered-down, diluted, compromised times.
Dave, I want to talk about some of these. And these are outstanding, all 10 of these principles. And, Dave, we're not going to do all of them today because I want you to come back and do the rest of them when you come back one or two more times on this book. But let's get started. What's the first one?
Well, the first one, quite frankly,
I love this one.
The first chapter is called Don't Be a Wimp. You know, have to start by looking in the mirror, and there are a lot of leadership wimps today who do exactly what I just said. They do what is easy and what's cheap or popular or convenient rather than doing what's right. And in the first chapter, I give four traits that you have to develop into your leadership style to weed out this wimpiness and get back to leading effectively. You
well,
know?
wimpy leader is a contradiction in terms.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. If you're a wimp, you're not a leader.
That's right. You may have the title, but you lead nothing.
You may think you are, but nobody's. If you're a wimp and you think you're a leader, look behind you. There's nobody there. They're not following you.
Exactly. Like the old saying goes, he who thinketh he leadeth but hath no followers is simply out for a walk.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, but how do we, okay, how do we, let's say that we got somebody who says, you know, I don't think I'm a wimp, but what if I am, what would that look like and how do I fix it?
Well, it would look like this. You would find yourself compromising your values and your standards, you know, your performance and your behavioral expectations for the sake of harmony. You would give sugar-coated feedback rather than really tell somebody where they stand or that they're failing. You would probably choose to emulate more than innovate. You would, you know, do it safe rather than getting out there on a limb and trying something different and getting out of the box. And you would also feel the need to treat everybody just alike rather than give them what they earn and deserve. You know, you would run more of a corporate welfare state than a meritocracy. And you got to be aware of those things. And because we can improve our leadership style, this is one of our greatest blessings. We don't have to stay the same. We can tighten up and toughen up in certain areas. And that's what Chapter 1 does. It focuses on improving our own style of leadership.
You know, Dave, you can also be guilty of being a wimp with your customers.
Oh, sure.
You know, I recently put a deal together with a customer, and he paid me a high compliment. He said, Jim, he said, one of the reasons I'm doing business with you is because I like the way you conduct yourself. He said, I know that you're going to tell me what you think, even if it's not what I want to hear. There's no baloney with you. I like people doing business with somebody like that. And he didn't realize probably that he was getting, I consider that a high compliment, but
high
we've got to be careful. I don't think we're, you know, if we're not being honest with our customers and telling them the truth. Now, you have to do it tactfully because they got feelings like the rest of us. But if you're not honest with your customers, what good are you to them?
Absolutely. You're of very little value to them. And your good customers, they really do appreciate someone who will tell them what they need to hear, not just what they want to hear, you know. And that takes courage.
Right.
And it takes a dash of political incorrectness there. But people appreciate someone that stands for something.
Well, for one thing, Dave, this day and time, people don't have time to dance around.
No.
They need the information. Let's make this decision and move on. And if you're worried about being politically incorrect and you haven't figured out how to be... If you haven't figured out how to be politically incorrect in a tactful and professional way, I think that's one thing that we ought to be working on. What do you think?
Well, absolutely, and you just hit the key words, in a tactful, professional way.
Right. And we're going to take a quick break, folks. Dave Anderson, I told you he was a smart guy. He and I are going to be back in just a minute. We're going to talk about something he calls eliminating the entitlements. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Whatever you do, don't go away. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're launching Dave Anderson's brand new book on this show right now. If you don't make waves, you'll drown. It's literally being launched today. Tell us where it's available, Dave.
All the Barnes & Noble bookstores. You can get it at Amazon.com, a lot of the airport bookstores. It's going to have a real wide availability.
If you don't make waves, you'll drown by Dave Anderson. Folks, check this book out. It's going to mean a lot to you. To me, Dave, this is the kind of book that you ought to be sharing with your employees. This is certainly one of those. I mean, many books that we recommend to our audience on the show are like that, but this one certainly is. I think this is something that ought to be passed around and discussed in management meetings. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. We just
and of course, everybody needs their own copy, right, Dave?
Well, that's right. We had one of our customers call and order 76 copies for all of his managers and employees.
See, that's the way to do it, folks.
Get on the same page at the same time.
Don't buy a book one at a time. Buy a box of books, right?
Well, we used to do this in our business. we used to go through the same book at the same time, learn the same things at the same time, and we were all on the same page. We were all speaking the same language. It just accelerated our growth.
Give us your website, Dave.
It's learntolead.com. learn.com. Spell it out just like it sounds.
Learn. Can they find the books there?
Yes, they can find the book there as well.
Okay, check it out, folks, when you get a chance. Okay, talk to us about eliminating entitlements.
Well, you know, I said earlier that trends in business always follow trends in society, and I don't think anybody would argue that society has become more entitled over the years. There's more freebies, there's more giveaways, giving people something. For
And Americans have the attitude that the government owes us this. Who's responsible for making sure that I'm happy and healthy?
Exactly. That's surely the mindset. And, you know, entitlement's the result of prosperity. When you start doing well, you start expecting people to take care of you. And so as we become more successful as a country, people have gotten more entitled. It wasn't this way back in 1776.
No, and it wasn't this way back in 1977 either.
No, it wasn't. Well, the problem is that same mindset carries over into business. And so you have more and more people today who want to put in the minimum, get the maximum in return.
Yeah.
They ask you, what are you going to do for me? Whatever you do is never enough. They want a Christmas bonus because it's Christmas time, not because they did anything to earn it. They want that end of the year raise because it's the end of the year, not because they went the second mile. Even donuts on Friday. You know, heaven forbid you forget to bring the donuts in on Friday.
You stop preaching and started meddling now, but donuts on Friday is a good idea. I like that idea.
and then they, you know, you forget one Friday and you see how entitled they are. They hit the roof. This used to be a good place to work. There are no donuts here today.
What do we do about those guys?
Well, you know, the only way to get rid of entitlement is we have to get back to building a meritocracy in our business. A meritocracy is where people get what they earn and deserve. We have to redefine what we expect, start distributing rewards and opportunities and even our time based more on deserve than based on what people need. And Chapter 2 talks about how to eliminate entitlements in your business. I call it send the moochers packing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
reward the performers.
Yes.
And let the moochers go be on somebody else's payroll.
Yeah, stop weakening the strong in order to strengthen the weak. That's a pathetic business strategy.
Well, it's a loser.
It is, and we do it in society. We weaken the strong to strengthen the weak, and that may be fine to help folks in society, but in business, you've got to have a different mindset, a different philosophy than they have in society. You have got to keep your business and your society definitions and philosophies separate. And most leaders today, they're so awash in political correctness, they don't. They don't keep the two separate. I mean, in society, the objective is equality for all, and that's a noble objective. But in business, you've got to make a profit.
Well, and the thing about it is, you know, if you're an insurance company, you've got to look at actuarial tables and determine how many people are going to get sick, how many people are going to die, how many houses are going to be blown away, et cetera, et cetera, and spread the risk over all the shareholders. In a business, you can't do that. You get to discriminate and only choose the good ones.
Give your best to the best and less to the rest. You can only build a great organization if you're leveraging your strengths. You cannot build a great organization if you spend all your time pandering to and repairing weaknesses. A lot of those people shouldn't be there in the first place.
And you're doing them a favor, believe
it
or not. I know it hurts everybody. It's tough to do, but you're doing them a favor when you cut them loose.
Well, there's nothing more harsh than letting someone remain in a position where they're wasting their life, they're losing their self-esteem, and they're not considered successful by others. And in this chapter, it talks about how to set out clear expectations, number one, so people know what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I give 25 sample expectations. I call them the business facts of life. Teach your people the business facts of life. Here's 25 sample expectations. Take the fog off you want them to do, off of what you want them to do. Now you can hold them accountable after you define what you need done.
Dave, we got to go. If you don't make waves, you'll drown. That's the new book. It's available wherever books are sold. We're launching it on this show right now. Dave, thank you for being here. Good job, as always. Come back and let's finish this book up real soon.
I'd love to. Thanks for having me, Jim.
Dave Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.